We're back, and we're not alone this time.
Can we officially say that these are our, because they're no longer audience members, and they're not the crew.
It's true.
So I guess we can say they are.
I think, and I don't even feel like they're guests anymore.
Sometimes guest, critic,
mm-hmm.
voice of reason.
Our voices are
side hires.
We have Enya and Kwesi with us today again to talk about some pretty big events that have taken place this month. I mean, the last episode was about just Black History Month in general, mm-hmm. but actually for Black History Month, the four of us and even more people actually went together to go and see Black Panther. So we thought, of course, it'd be fitting that they kind of join us this time and give us their feedback as well on how the movie was. Mm-hmm. So let's just break it down.
First, let me say, though, that because I didn't know that the movie was going to be shown in Germany, I feel so bad just because I felt like, I just assumed that we wouldn't see it, you know, till the next 2 months or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm not clear why I thought that, because I have some friends in Jamaica who are like, you know, are you going to watch it? And I'm like, yeah, I'm expecting that we will watch it. In the next months or so, we wouldn't be getting the premiered version. But I suppose I assume that because most of the movies that come here, they're first dubbed over
mm-hmm.
into German. Mm-hmm. But Corso Cinema really turned out.
I so know. Shout out, Little Corso.
And you know, you can always check out the Corso Cinema. And this is in Stuttgart. Is it Stuttgart-Vaihingen?
It's Stuttgart-Vaihingen.
Anyway, search them on Facebook or in Google. But if you're living in the Stuttgart area and you want to watch a movie in English, in its original language, and apparently, you know, if it's premiering.
Right. Because I saw it before some people in America saw it.
Yeah, I saw it before people in Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, that really comes down to the time difference, though, because
we're
7 hours ahead. But so I was very impressed about that.
Yeah,
let's just say
yes
to that.
And the theater was full. That was cool, too.
Let's talk about what your expectations were first,
so
that we can, you know, kind of come to some kind of reconciliation between what we expected, what happened before, you know.
I mean, honestly, I tried not to really make a huge expectation out of it, because at the end of the day, it's Disney. So in my mind, I thought it was going to be very glamorous. I thought that the characters would be really, you know, futuristic looking, and the story would be really futuristic. But as far as the plot itself, I tried hard not to really think about it too much, because I figured it was actually probably going to be problematic, and I kind of was hoping for the best. But then, Quay, you had a lot of things. Like, you were really prepared for it to be problematic, I think.
I thought it was going to be a disappointment.
But is that just because you think that things are going to be so...
I'm probably a pessimist at heart in some ways.
Do you think so?
But I think in terms of this, just knowing that it was a Disney property, knowing ultimately Disney is just consolidating big time. And I was very aware that they would try and make something that was as appealing as possible to everyone. And so if that meant diluting any revolutionary or kind of forward-thinking message, that would happen in order to satisfy all of the different markets that the film would be distributed to. I definitely had apprehension going forward, but in the week coming up to it, then I started to think, because I started to see those early reviews popping up, which were from like the premiere audiences in LA and London, and they were all saying, okay, this is really good. So I started to think, okay, maybe there's something
here.
So yeah, I did allow myself to get swept up into the hype
in
the preceding week.
I had zero expectations. I tried to go in with like as least as possible. I think I saw the trailer like a half a year to a year ago or something. And I tried to stay away from it because I feel like trailers generally tend to, you know, spoil the whole movie. I've watched movies where like those were the most funny scenes, and then like you watch them in a trailer so many times, like it wasn't funny anymore. Of course, like I think we all, you know, heard about the whole hype, and I think I understood the hype, and of course I was also to a certain extent hyped for it, but like I tried not to make any like, you know, assumptions or try and like, you know, imagine what was going to happen to the, you know, either, you know, be disappointed or, you know, just be kind of like also open to like what was going to happen. And I think, honestly, I think we should do a spoiler disclaimer
at
the beginning, since we're going to probably go a bit in depth about the whole movie.
Why? We're going into it. You're always so concerned about, I mean, if somebody's listening to us and they've not watched it.
Go and watch it, because we're about to give you the spoilers. Yeah.
So, just to preface what were my expectations going in, I'm not a big comic strip fan, right? Mm-hmm. Not to read them or to watch the movies. Like, they had Captain America and all of them. I'm just not a fan of all of that. I just feel like, what are we doing here? My brain cells are burning, right? So, just that alone was something that I was wary of. But I'm a fan of Lupita. I'm also a fan of anything to do with Black culture that way. So I was hyped from the point of view when I saw, like, Amy, I saw the trailer some long time ago. And so I thought, well, if they're going to talk about this Wakanda place, that's going to be, you know, this place where, you know, it's Black civilization that is evolved. Like, that got me excited.
Yeah.
And then I confess that, like, the weeks leading up to it, you know, I think it's so funny the way we are as Black people, you know. People are like, even if it's shit, we're not going to talk about it because it's everything. And, you know, people were just planning their outfits. Mm-hmm. I like how we are as a people, how we, you know, we make much out of nothing. Yeah. And I think that's a good thing. Like, I feel like that hyped me up. And then when I heard that we could watch it, you know, premiering in Stuttgart, I was like, okay, then this is good.
Yeah.
So I took my children and my husband along, and they were in the car. I was just rocking out and just being really, you know, belligerent. So yeah, I would say I was hyped.
Yeah, I was definitely hyped. I think that I was hyped more in the beginning, and then hearing Kwesi's opinion sort of calmed me down. And then he got hyped.
We all don't have a Kwesi in our lives, so they can feel negative about shit, right?
I know, but I was, like, mad about it. I was like, Kwesi, why are you being like that? Like, it's not... But in the end, I was really happy, because by the time we actually went to the theater, I was more prepared. All right, so let's just actually get into the movie itself. Yeah. I think we should talk about the pros first.
Yeah, let's do that.
So
because that list might be short.
Wow! The movie, you know, first of all, maybe your opinions. I personally, I thought the movie was good and I liked it.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, of course, the ending could have been different, but I do still believe. I think the movie, it was a good movie.
Mm-hmm. So name a couple pros on your side as far as things you
what
liked.
What stood out?
Yeah.
Definitely Kingmonger. I definitely enjoyed the villain.
Mm.
Because, okay, for one, of course, he was very, very, you know, nice to look at, just saying it that way. But, like, yeah, that was a moment where he was just, you know, they were like, I'm going to fight you. And I was like, I was not prepared for this. But, no, I liked his character and I liked the backstory. I also like that we kind of got to get to know the individual characters. And, like, I genuinely found interest in each one of them. Like, I thought they all stood out in a sort of way. Of course, like, you know, I think I can speak for all of us that, like, the scenery, the things, how it looked, the clothes, it was all really, really well done. Personally, I found it was very interesting, like, the whole, you know, concept. I mean, at the end of the day, it is a superhero movie. It's nice to see people of your own color in movies, because, like, I saw, like, a video of, like, these two little boys, like, running up to one of the Black Panther the posters, and I was like, look, I'm him, and he, you know, they kind of do look like you, so it's another level, you know. I don't know, I like the movie. I'm not gonna lie, I do like the movie. I like the discussion that came up after, because I think, like, after the movie theaters, people probably thought we're crazy, especially, like, one of us for being, you know, very extra loud in the theaters, and the movie was not over. But
that would be me.
I was also pretty loud in the theater.
Yeah, I think
they said I was, like, one of the loudest people in there.
Very loud.
I think I could probably definitely take this away from the beginning that, like, it definitely caused a discussion, and like, you know, I think just for that it deserves a good rating, to be very honest.
For me, yeah, the pros, I think one, just the representation is a good thing, just on any level, and to have, you know, a Black lead in a superhero film. And, you know, majority Black cast is very important and very pleasing to see. I think also just the success of the movie has been nice to see as well. Like, just looking at these stats here on Box Office Mojo, film's been out for 5 days, and the minute, the worldwide gross is $426 million. So I think too, in, you know, 5 days, garner almost $500 million in box office receipts, I think is very good. And I think it bodes well for giving Black directors and Black actors a chance on the big stage. So that I was very pleased with. I would also say as well, one of the things that has pushed me away from the Marvel universe in the past in cinemas is they tend to have, I know this is a very silly thing to get caught up on, but I always found that the colors were always very, like, drab and, like, not very exciting. And I found that this film was very, like, vibrant and colourful in a way that you don't actually see often in the Marvel film. So, yeah, that was pleasing too. And the soundtrack was a little bit more lively than...
Oh, yes, the soundtrack. Mm-hmm. Kendrick Lamar killed it on the album. I really hope he gets the Grammys. I thought he was nominated for some, I think.
Yeah,
because with the album, like, I genuinely, like, liked every single song. And I listened to... I will admit, I've heard the songs before the movie. And I was glad I did, because, like, I could sing along.
Oh, I just imagine him in the back, like, singing.
But you know that Kendrick Lamar, there's a video where he stole this artist girl.
Oh my God! Do you have this?
I just want to point that out. That, you know, that's black on black theft.
That's black on black theft. How could he? Oh well, I was just gonna say my pros. I mean, you guys basically said like a lot of the things that I thought were good about the movie. It was vibrant. There was good representation. It was very successful in the box office, which I think gives black artists, black creatives, some leverage for the future. So I guess the one thing that I would really want to talk about is I loved the way that black women were represented or were presented in the movie. I loved the way black women, the entire time they worked together, they had good communication with each other. They just backed each other up through the whole thing. And I really, 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 really liked that. I feel like, I don't know, just I feel like in a lot of movies, a lot of times when we see black women, it's always in like the stereotypical light. And so to see it where it was like, we were powerful and we were smart, and you had Shuri, the sister, the princess, and how she was like actually like the techie, yeah. And she like had all of that, and that was just, it was very empowering. And I thought a lot about being a young girl and what that would have been like for me at the time, kind of like what you said, Enya, with the two little boys who were running up to the poster. I'm like, how would this have influenced me as a young child? And it just seemed very powerful as far as the imagery went. So I really did like that.
I think just to kind of, I agree with most of what you said, everybody. One of the things that stood out for me was just the fact that we had a leading woman. The object of desire was this black woman with her natural hair. And I know I sound like a broken record, but when...
Okoye.
When she was, I think when she was in the casino, that scene, and she teared off the wig, and she's like, you know, because she never wanted to wear it in the first place. Mm-hmm. I like that, you know, that resonated with me. For me, the thing that really stood out also was the setting. Like, do you remember that scene when they had the first challenge? And you saw the rocks and all the people and all the colors. I got goosebumps because I felt like, only a black movie would get that. You get this sense that something special is happening, and the feeling of ancestry and tribal importance. Like, I really appreciated that.
I loved that. The way they did the colors, so you could see the different tribes.
It was just real. And I suppose it goes to your point, Crazy, that, you know, in comparison to other movies, it wasn't color. I've never watched any other of the other movies, so I can't compare. But that stood out really strongly for me. I think the performance of the individual actors varied. I really felt that the main character, T'Challa, what's his name? Chadwick Boseman. He really did not own the screen at all. I felt like the movie started when Killmonger came on the screen. He owned it, and I got excited, not just because he looked good, but I believed him. Mm-hmm. The intensity of it, I felt like he was speaking to me.
Yeah. So just to stay on pros really quick, because I want to just touch on what you said about the actors, is that one thing that really stuck out to me was how talented they all are. Because, for example, Daniel Kaluuya, who played Wakabi, and he also was in Get Out. And he's British. He was in Get Out doing an American accent, and then he was now in Black Panther with this like West African accent or something. Yeah. It was just like that was really cool to see. There were a lot of different actors that were playing roles where they had to have a different accent. So I thought that was really cool too. Yeah.
Letitia Wright, she was in the latest season of Black Mirror.
Black Mirror, that's she did a British and American accent. And now in this movie, she was doing an African accent, and she's from Guyana. Like, that's incredible.
Yeah.
That was really cool. Okay.
So I feel like it was just a very textured approach, and I agree with the whole business of the representation. I mean, I grew up, for the most part, in the 80s. Like I said, I'm not a fan of cartoons and so on, but, the importance of representation, you can't even describe how important and critical it is. Somebody said, I heard a comment saying that this guy was saying he he feels how it feels to go into a cinema as a white person. When you go in and you see all white faces representing whatever. And on one hand, I feel like, yes, this is important and we should really just see people as humans. But I know that in the end, for a little black boy or for that little black girl who is into comics and into superhero movies.
This or
is,
even nothing superhero movies.
Yeah, this is just powerful, powerful. It's like gold.
And the thing, too, about the white guy that goes to the movies and sees himself all the time is that, I mean, they see themselves to the point where it's just normal, that they don't even think about it. And so I think, like, even for this movie to come out and for us to see ourselves on screen like that, and then you kind of saw the way that culturally, you know, everything reacted. And so it was like, oh my gosh, look at these black people all extra and they're kente and blah, blah, blah. And it was just like, then you saw those type of pictures juxtaposed with when Harry Potter came out or when Superman came out and like all of these white people that get dressed up. And it's like, it's so shocking for our society to see us dress up like this and go in, even though this is something that white people do all the time.
That whole thing with dressing up, too, I saw, I think, a post on it where people were like, it's not dressing up, this is traditional. Like, you know, it's like, it's not even like you're trying to gimmick anything. It's like literal African.
Because that was
A really good point.
Because that was one of the concerns that some people had. Some people who I've listened to who don't like the movie felt like that's one of the issues that... It seems like when people, like you said, when people dress up for Harry Potter or when they dress up for, I don't know what the other movies are, it's a gimmick. You know, it's not real. They know it's not real. But when you watch some of the people who went to see this movie, it's real. And I felt bad because I felt like I see his point, but I also understand why people take it so much because they're like, this is for some people, they've never seen this.
Yeah.
So they get overly excited, and therein lies the problem. Like,
we shouldn't be this excited.
Exactly. Should we be this excited? Yeah. I have as one of my questions. Is it too big a ask? Yes. Are we as black people expecting too much from, I mean, a movie?
Yes. I think
and
absolutely.
Is this where we've come to, where we're so eager and starving? Yes, to see representation and to get a sense of, yes, we are here, see us, hear us.
I mean,
did you see
the video of the one movie theater where they're playing drums in the front of the theater and they're dancing?
Yeah.
Like, I think that answers the question. Like, yes, clearly we are very hungry to see ourselves on screen if the one time they make a movie like that. No, it's not okay at all because I felt like with this movie, what it ended up doing was, okay, getting into the cons, I don't think it was a very good plot at all. And I feel like the fact was that afterwards, a lot of people walked out dressed up and all, you know, wanting to feel all empowered and kind of having to decide, okay, do I have cognitive dissonance about this movie so that I can continue to say, ah, it's the greatest movie ever? Mm-hmm. Or do I now have to, like, continue to fight and demand more how I'm going to be represented in media? So... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it made me feel uncomfortable after watching. And I guess we're fully into the pros now. The cons, rather.
Mm-hmm.
Because that whole business of dressing up. Because remember when we spoke, I was like, we should make this a moment. We should dress up and so on. I'm kind of happy that I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I really am. I feel like, not because the movie was disappointing, the storyline was disappointing, but because I feel like it's kind of like a gimmick, you know? And the culture and who we are as a people is... It's more than just not like Gandalf from Harry Potter or some Star Wars thing. And for a white person who goes to the movie to watch Star Wars, they know this is a joke. Mm. It's fun. It's entertainment. But for us, it isn't. I feel uncomfortable about that.
I guess for me, the way I looked at it, because we both dressed up a little bit. I guess in a way for us, it was like, we wanted if there was anybody there, you know, everybody knows we're here for this movie. When we were waiting in line for the tickets, we didn't want anybody
to
wonder.
People who went, like, dressed up as, what's the name? Prince from Coming to America. Yeah, Coming to America.
Oh, my God. Yeah. See, it wasn't on that level, but I definitely wanted to be very clear what movie I was going to see to anybody that looked at me. Even from the moment I got on the train. I remember when we got on the train, I was, like, looking around expecting, like, a ton of black people on their way up. And it was just us, but, you know,
it's still Germany.
Yeah. But after the movie, I remember, like, just kind of feeling like I didn't do much, but maybe I don't want to rep this hard for this movie.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's how I felt driving home. I felt yeah, I didn't feel bad about not getting so, you know, dolled up.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, okay, it is a movie, and I get with the whole gimmicky thing, but, like, it's the same way how you kind of putting it in connection with, like, when, you know, people go to, like, a football game and they get all dressed up in, like, the flag and stuff like that. Like, maybe you could see
that. Are you that person? Because I...
Personally...
So you know how people will paint their faces for their football team mm-hmm. here? Or I'm not that person. I'm not the person who would go dressed up like, you know, Star Wars either. So I thought that's the reason why it couldn't work for me to behave like that. Because it's in the at the end of the day, it's a movie. But like you said earlier about the conversation that the movie sparked, because it makes you, you almost have to come back to think, what does this say about my people? Mm-hmm. When I see some of the, and they're really great. I don't know if you saw some of the pictures from like South Africa when they had the premiere
yes.
or in Nigeria. Like it's beautiful. You see mm-hmm. these women and all the things, you know, how they look. But I mean, it's a movie.
Yeah.
It's a movie. Mm-hmm. And the difference between a group of white people going to watch Star Wars and us going to watch this movie is that they know it's entertainment and they're doing it because they're having fun. A guy who dresses, paints his face to watch a football match, he knows this is fun. It's not life to him. Whereas this, it feels like it's more. And
but do you think if the movie had stood up to the expectations or gone surpassed the expectations?
But let's talk about that. What could the movie have done to make you feel like, okay.
So, okay, for those images that I saw in Nigeria and South Africa, for me to be like, yes, here we are, I think the movie couldn't have been what the movie was. Keep the imagery, keep the nice, you know, trap beats and all that, but, like, the actual movie itself, I was very much against, and I sat through the theater half the time just, like, turning to Quay, like, what the fuck am I looking at? That I'm supposed to be cheering for the man who, you know, is trying to give Wakanda resources out to the rest of the world, and I'm supposed to be rooting for his demise. Like,
all right, let's get into it. So
should we do it chronologically? Because I've got problems.
Quincy has, like, a PowerPoint ready. We're going to go scene for scene.
I got a problem from the very beginning.
Okay, let's do that. Yeah. Then we can, yeah.
The initial premise of the film is that, you know, Wakanda is this, and it shows the globe, and it zooms in, and we can assume that Wakanda is in East Africa. But Wakanda has been blessed because a meteorite strikes Wakanda and it contains vibranium, which can be found nowhere else on Earth. So they've got this wonderful resource. But I initially didn't and immediately didn't like that because immediately, like, the Wakandans' success is just a turn of fate. It's like nothing that they did. It's just like a meteorite hit
okay,
Wakanda.
Can I cut in there right there? But I mean, it's just the same way. It's still a superhero movie though. Because look at Superman. Look at not Iron Man, but look at, like, the Green Lantern or something. He just also magically became the Green Lantern because, you know, I don't even know what happened. I think he got a ring and he put it on and it, like, stuck to his finger.
Yeah, but see, that's the point I'm saying. Like, you see, you can look at it like it's just a movie.
That's the thing. Like, that's a problem.
What, this is the discussion that we have to decide. Decide what kind of discussion are we having. Are we dissecting this and surgically looking at this movie? And because I think it's a big ask to ask a movie. It's a movie.
Nah.
And a superhero movie, no less, a Walt Disney movie, no less, to answer these big historical karma questions.
No, fuck
about
that. They chose to make a movie about black people. They knew exactly what they were getting themselves into. And I think we should definitely dissect it from a political, you know, point. Because, so Quay's talking about the fact that vibranium hit and it just makes it fate. For me, in that opening scene, what got me was, why wouldn't you make that happen in West Africa? Just the fact that they made it happen in East Africa already creates separation between colonization and slavery that happened, and, like, these Wakandans and, like, the magical society that they developed based on vibranium. I didn't like that. Put it in West Africa.
All right, so the director and writer of the movie, his name is Ryan Coogler, and he is black,
yes,
right? And I thought to myself when I thought, well, okay, well, I just feel that what has happened is that they're making us into gimmicks.
Mm.
Yes? When we watch Iron Man or when we watch Superman, it's about some fictitious character, right? And it doesn't play on any emotional trauma or
exactly.
history that anybody has. It's just
mm-hmm.
fun.
Mm-hmm.
How dare them make a movie about my history?
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
And or at least a parallel on that.
And they make it, exactly. And then now we go and we dress up and we celebrate, mm-hmm. right? So that's mm-hmm. the fundamental problem I have mm-hmm. with this whole thing. Like, do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. And I guess going from that initial scene where it's like the whole setup of it was that, you know, like Kwesi said, it's this magical place because it, you know, got the lucky strike of this meteor. But then it was like weirdly that the rest of the world still goes through colonization. Europe still comes into Africa, pillages, rapes, kidnaps, and enslaves people. But then like Wakanda's like magically like hiding and just continuing to develop itself. I was just thinking like how relatable is this, or how, you know, like how much can I suspend? What is it called?
Suspension of disbelief.
Mm-hmm. Like how much can I do that in order to believe the premise of this movie? Because just imagining that I was in Germany or I was in America and some foreign invader comes in and is attacking all my neighbors, what, I'm supposed to just sit there and hide in the basement with my technology that could help save them?
Yeah, it didn't make sense.
It didn't make sense. And that's my first con that I wrote down, is that the plot didn't make sense. And because the plot didn't make sense, there was no clear enemy. Like, I kept thinking the whole time, who is the enemy here? Okay. They tried so hard to make it Killmonger, but I couldn't fully be against him.
Well, you know, I'm team Killmonger, like, straight up. Like, I have no apologies to make about mm-hmm. that. But my question is, what was the movie saying? Like, who is it pandering to? Even though the writer and the director is a black person, mm-hmm. what am I supposed to get as a black person from this movie? Like, really, if after, like you said, Wakanda is this great nation that has this ability to make the world better and to save, and by us, by the world, I mean us, black people. At the very least, that's what they're able to do. And that's what Killmonger wanted to do, right? Mm-hmm. And then I have to be convinced at the end of the movie then, well, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to do it a little bit slower. We're yep. not going to save you right just now. We're just going to, you know, we're going to build. Yep. That scene where the sister goes into Los Angeles and he says to her, I bought this building. And so it's going to be like a skills training center. I'm like, the fuck is this? This is like a 2.0 welfare system. Like, why are you not using the resource that you have to go full blast revolution and change the entire thing? Like, what's the delay?
I think I watched a video from Wisecrack, which I thought was interesting, who like dissected like the villain Killmonger himself, and they put the point, which I thought was interesting, that they kind of showed two things that were against each other. On the one hand, there was isolationism and colonialism. Mm-hmm. Basically, Killmonger was a representative of like someone who basically turned into the colonizer in the sense that that's what he wanted to do. He wanted to basically take the weapons and go back into the the basically white countries and like help the black people, right? Whereas like the Black Panther, basically he wanted to kind of like continue with the way his father was by keeping it, you know, in clothes and like for themselves. And also to brush up on the point that you said it today, there are a lot of countries like that have war going on and other people sitting on the side and were like, well, it's not our country, you know, and it's like basically like it's not us. And even if you look like into slavery, like there were a lot of like African kings and stuff like that who were basically like also selling off their slaves. So like I don't think you can completely say like how it doesn't make any sense, because like it actually happened, or it actually is mm-hmm. happening in our nowadays life. That's a thing. And then the next thing they said that was happening, the whole sense of traditionalism versus progress, which is what was going on, also has something to do with that. But keeping it, you know, isolated and them for themselves, and they have their, you know, strict traditions. But also on the other hand, like the whole sense of progress and like, you know, sharing the stuff like outside, which I thought was interesting. And I mean, of course, I think we all agreed the movie is not going to solve our problems. But I think what the movie does, and that's why it's like good for me, is like it's letting us have this conversation. It's like bringing up these points. Mm-hmm. And I think personally, I think we live in a day and age where I personally would have, it's boring to watch a movie for me where there's clear, okay, he's a hero and here's a villain. He's a villain, right? Or she or whatever. But the fact that, you know, you kind of have to, it makes you think like, okay, I don't want to really be for this so-called, you know, the hero who you start out with. And I don't really want to be for this villain who, you know, you kind of sympathize with and you kind of like get to know him. So like, it starts to make you kind of like think and like think about yourself, because I don't think the movie is necessarily there to, for you to, you know, we're going to start a revolution or we're just going to all sit down and be quiet. You know what I mean? It's just there to like make you think. So that's why, as much as you, the three of you have your cons, you know, listed up, ready to like, so, you know, I still stand by, I think the movie is a good movie.
But. Yeah, but you know, you see, that's the thing though, you know, I don't know that we were not having this conversation before the movie. And I think for me, like, and I'm going to go back again, I feel like by them setting this movie on my history, on my culture, it's like they're trying to make me into a gimmick, and I'm it offends me. No, I don't know, because I, like I said, maybe you can tell me crazy because you sound like you've watched, you know, comic movies. Are those other movies set in any particular ethnic group's culture? Do you see what I'm saying? I'm uncomfortable with the idea that they've used all of these touch points in my history to make a movie.
Exactly. I think this was like the...
And we're not for sale. It's like, I feel like we're being sold again. And the worst offense is that we, meaning the collective, us globally as black people, bought into it.
Exactly.
And we are the ones who is making them this billion-dollar revenue movie. And at the end of the day, you remember I was telling you earlier, the actors are not the ones who are going to be getting all of this money. Most of that money is going to go where? To Marvel. Disney. To Disney. And who owns Disney? See, and so the discussion about the movie stops there for me. But like, we're talking, so we have to go on.
Yeah, I mean, I fully agree with you. I think the reason why this movie feels so watered down is because I think it is the result of board meetings with people who've sat down and said, look, we need to, you know, there are lots of young black people who aren't coming to the cinema. Let's, how can we represent them in just such a way that we can get, you know, bums on seats, people into the theater watching this film? I think it was much less about black empowerment than perhaps the narrative around its marketing would suggest.
Yeah.
And much more about just expanding the Disney machine, which is a machine. It's a huge machine. And this is, this actually falls under phase three of the Marvel film strategy. So we've had like two different waves of Marvel films coming up to this point. And it's only now that the market is thoroughly saturated that they're starting to say, okay, right,
we
how can
move
we expand
over now.
A little bit
yes.
more?
And what do you do? You check into the African.
Yeah, you make the ethnic movie. And I found it very interesting that, like, the also the only other location outside of Africa which was portrayed, and I want to go into this later because it didn't really make sense, but the only other place they went was Korea. And I feel like it was like, okay, this is going to be our ethnic minority movie, and we're going to just make sure everyone's happy with that. So, like, anybody who doesn't have white skin is going to watch this one and feel happy, and it's going to slot nicely into, you know, our expanding Marvel thing. Because ultimately, they want every continent to have people who are hooked into the Marvel universe and going to see those other movies. Each one is a tie-in to another one.
Let's talk about how it could be better, because that's what I did. When I came home after I calmed down, I thought, okay, how could it have been better? What had they allowed Killmonger to reign? And first of all, I don't get people saying that he was the villain, and you know, I don't see him as a villain. I see him as one of those very textured and complex characters. All of us know somebody like that, right? Who's had a tough life and have had to make decisions and pull themselves up out of shit to make it work. He went, he challenged the Chala, the main guy, the Black Panther, and it was, and he won fair and square. He won fair and square.
And we had a discussion about this, that, you know, okay, if you really want to go into detail about that, like, wasn't the, what were the conditions were that you have to either kill the other person or the other person, like how T'Challa won at the beginning, like he was like,
okay,
surrender, basically, right? So theoretically, since T'Challa never really died, the fight was never really over. Seeing it that way, if you really, like, you know, go like real traditional, like how the rules were set,
fair
right?
enough.
Okay,
but what I'm saying though is he won. Right?
No,
because he won from the point of view that the guy was thrown over the thing.
Okay.
Right? Why not arrange the movie, right, so that we see for the next maybe 10, 15 minutes what life would be like under Killmonger? He goes, he distributes the vibranium and he does what he says, or half of what he says he wants to do, and we feel the revolution. right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's what I want. I went to
but that's a lot of energy. That's a lot of work. I feel like Disney did not want to go into
and that's giving us the point, those scenes. Because I was so, like, I feel like they've used our culture to sell me this shit, and then I'm supposed to buy into the story and think, oh my God, it's great, and go and watch it 4 and 5 times and give them money. I think, at the very least, they should have given me 5-10 minutes of the movie where I see Killmonger distributing the vibranium all over the world, in countries like Jamaica and in the Caribbean, where they, you know, that's struggling, and give me the picture of what the white man looks like when he sees the recolonization happening. How does he?
I feel like they would. Disney would not show it that way. Disney would show chaos. Disney would show violence.
Because it wouldn't play into what their truth is, or what they need their truth to be.
Exactly,
and that's the problem I have. And fundamentally with the movie.
But that is exactly what my problem is, fundamentally with the movie too, is I felt like they had to create this narrative that actually only suited a small group of people, not all the people dressing up and coming out.
No! You know?
And
then Black Panther is like a pussy in so many ways. Yeah. I shouldn't call him a pussy because pussies are strong.
Yeah.
But let me just say that he's just like a wuss. He's a gent. Like, I feel... You know, the way that he was not a real challenge to Killmonger.
And he didn't even have the political strategies either.
Nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just an elitist. It's like the black elites just saying, let's keep the money among us.
It was like, daddy was the king, so now I'm the king.
The monarch. But I mean, and in a way, I heard a comparison being made to Wakanda and I know you're not a fan of Paul Watson, but you know, I like to listen to the back. I like to listen to the bold side. And his thing was, isn't it the way Wakanda basically is America with Trump being, because they don't allow for immigration and migration, because you can't go there just like on your own, right? Yeah. They have very strong borders, Trump.
Yeah.
Yes. So it's like the black version of elitism. Yes. And they're also representing when people have power, that they're never willing to give it away, no matter what color, or no matter what.
And I think that was really my biggest problem with the movie, is that I felt like the movie was a white man's biggest fear put on screen with black people. You know what I mean? I felt like this movie...
But they didn't go far enough, because a white man's biggest fear would be Killmonger getting 15 minutes of the movie, doing everything that he said he wanted to do. And then they could have said, okay, but they wouldn't even allow themselves to go there.
Even though
they know they had the power to say, to curb the story back and say, well, he did that, but then chaos happened, and so we had to do it the original way. Not even that they were able to do.
Mm-hmm. I mean, for me, I can't be fully Team Killmonger, and I think I understand why you
justify
are.
Justify that.
Because I understand why you are, but I think that he was very intentionally made irredeemable, the fact that he, like, killed his female accomplice, but pretty much no reason.
When was this?
Remember, he had the girlfriend. Nobody even remembers that.
But
part.
Yeah, but I mean,
what happened to that?
You don't remember? Like, she was with a girl, and then what's his name? Claw basically took her. I was like, if you shoot me, I'll kill her. And then he was like, well, sorry, babes.
That he's just a passionate intention.
Exactly. I don't think that has nothing to do with, you know, him being black. There are a lot of villains like that who would just be like, screw all your girlfriends or so be wise.
His general goal. Right, his big goal is to ensure that all black people are given an opportunity to live lives of purpose.
And he wants
to
ensure
that. I think he contradicted that.
And he wasn't going to make a girlfriend stop him. And I respect that.
I think
you respect that. Just let her go.
I think he contradicted that multiple points. I think he contradicted it when he said he was working for the military and he'd been around like Africa and Iraq killing people. I don't think he was as for the people and for the oppressed as he thought he was. Now, I can understand his feelings, but I think he was very much designed as an irredeemable character because they couldn't have somebody who had like good ethics and went about doing it in a revolutionary
way.
Like the actual Black Panthers who, you know, were armed but they weren't violent.
And
like
they
that
were
kind of
doing
stuff.
All of these social programs for their community and things like
Instead,
that.
Instead they made him into like
radical.
I don't think it's fair to say that because he went to the war that somehow that compromises him. I mean, he literally told V'Challa, the Black Panther, that I was training for you.
But it's
and it's not just
but you can't use
also
like other
physical.
People you can't use other like African and black and bodies and Middle Eastern bodies as like a training ground, and also to support like a multinational
military. But what would you have him do then? Be a school shooter? I mean, and just kill white people?
I mean, why couldn't he train at like a shooting range or like airsoft or something?
Because
like,
that's not how you become a warrior, Kwesi.
Well, she knows, right?
Well, presumably the Black Panther, they talked about T'Challa and he'd done all his training. I don't imagine he was going through Wakanda.
He wasn't in Syria killing children.
So how did he get trained?
I don't expect to have a character that is 100%, you know, 100% honest and good and pure.
Why not? If this is going to be our movie, why can't we have somebody who's just like, boom, boom, boom?
No, ask the producer.
Because we are not like that, though, Kwesi. Black people are not like that.
See, I would completely disagree with that, because I feel like
that black people, like, seriously, look at Wakanda. After the Killmonger challenged him and he won, and he came into the room and he said, look, I won, I'm the king. The mother first was like, oh my God, what's happening now, right? She responded the same way that the British monarch would respond if somebody came and took their throne.
Like, time to kill?
I understand.
So I like him on because he's like, fuck the monarch, fuck all y'all.
I like
Black
that.
People are out here suffering, and you all are sitting here comfortable and good, and it's not happening anymore. That's the point.
I like all of those things about Killmonger. But also, it was not like he just had some minor character flaws on the side.
Exactly.
There were some pretty big, like, his
I
idea of revolution
him.
Was not about, like,
I forgive him.
His ideas of revolution weren't about, like, providing means of production to the people, and like it was all about like how can we weaponize the
you have to start from somewhere, because that's how the colonizer did it.
But that's what they were saying, that was the problem. That was his problem. Like, he was basically a colonizer himself.
Yeah, so
okay. So on that note, I want to read this quote that I read that just really summed up my view on it. It's from Sonia Renee Taylor, who started an organization called The Body Is Not an Apology. She's a poet, she's a writer, and she put this quote out, I think yesterday, that I thought was really good. She said, "Killmonger is simply the manifestation of Grace Lee Boggs' quote I share in my book when discussing how radical self-love offers a framework for social transformation through personal transformation. Boggs says, being a victim of oppression in the United States is not enough to make you revolutionary, just as dropping out of your mother's womb is not enough to make you human. People who are full of hate and anger against their oppressors, or who only see us versus them, can make a rebellion, but not a revolution. The oppressed internalize the values of the oppressor. Therefore, any group that achieves power, no matter how oppressed, is not going to act differently from their oppressors as long as they have not confronted the values that they have internalized and consciously adopted different values. Killmonger is what happens when we fail to do the internal work of radical self-love."
Fair enough, but T'Challa does not, their way of doing it is not better.
That's the thing. You have to see the difference. I think that's, you because like after a while you shut off and you didn't see the rest of the movie. At the end, I think T'Challa was, as much as, I might not like him, but I think at the end he saw the middle. Like, he grew up in, the way his father brought him up, with this whole, we are, on our own, keep it to ourselves. And then he saw Killmonger. And I think at the end he genuinely understood what he was doing. And that's why his take on the whole thing at the end was trying to find like a middle, like, look, okay, we need to help each other, but like we need to do this in a smart way. And I think like this goes on to like the password card thing as humans, like the way we are, like especially when talking about like when somebody has power, like if you have power you have to know, like, are you gonna be like the greedy person who keeps it for themselves and like use it? If you know you can help, why don't you? And he realized that, and he realized that through Lupita. Yeah. She basically like also saying like, look, we have to help. And like I think he started to understand it and see that that was supposed to happen. Maybe because, like, you are, yes, maybe slight extremist yourself, you know? Because he was trying to find the middle. I think that's important. Like, as much as they have the two sides, none of those sides are good because it's too extreme. So you need to find a way in the middle.
I still didn't agree with T'Challa at the end. I didn't want him in. I didn't want that family in. But for me, what I wanted, if I had the perfect Killmonger for me, would have never said, oh, I'm going to weaponize all these oppressed people. I think he should have come in there and he should have been like, we have the technology to save lives. We have the technology to educate people so that they can, be the most creative, the most advanced, most whatever. And that's what we need. We need to give that money. We need to build it up. That was perfect for me. But it was the fact that in the movie, the reality of that movie was that he only talked about weapons and he only talked about revenge. And that was why I couldn't, even though when he was in London and he was looking at all of these African artifacts and he was like, oh yeah, I'm going to take this one. And the white woman was like, it's not for sale. And he was like, oh, do you think your ancestors bought this? You know, I was like, I was snapping in there. I was like, yes. I was like, and it was like things like that where I felt like he really understood the history of colonization and slavery and how that had affected him.
And that's being, what I'm saying, though, not to cut into you, but, like, I feel like that's the point, that you can't say that... Yeah, I get what you're saying, that we should, you know, we should all, you know, be evolved and sing Kumbaya and find the higher, your highest self. Mm-hmm. But you have to understand that oppressed people around the world, like, there needs to be a burn-off. Yes, and I think Killmonger would have done that. That's why I advocate for a good 15 minutes of the movie to do that killing off.
But let's just talk quickly about the reality of the situation. Because I like to think a lot and I like to imagine a lot what life would look like if black people got reparations. And what would that be? And to me, if today the French government, the United States, you know, the UK said, all right, you know what? We acknowledge these terrible things that we've done and we're giving out reparations. Would the first thing we do... Personally, us, would the first thing we do be like, okay, let me go get a gun so I can kill all these white people?
Wait, wasn't there a Dave Chappelle? Wasn't there a comedy? Some comedian did something like that. No, some comedian did that. Like, if when black people got reparations and they were just like, I'm buying everything. And it's like, just spending the money. And they were like, we're getting back our money, basically.
Yeah. I think I do know what you're talking about. I think it was Chappelle. But I feel like, you know, obviously to just be handed that money, like, you definitely need to have the type of, I don't know, education behind it to be like, okay, how can I make smart moves with this to really build up? But my first instinct would not be, let me kill white people. And that's why I felt like it was a white man's worst nightmare if Killmonger were to get into power. Because for white people, and one of the reasons why white people continue to keep us down so much and have these stupid stereotypes about us and this and that, is that at the end of the day, their fear and their belief is that if we ever got in power, we would do what they did to us. And I don't feel like, and there's no black person I've ever actually personally met that's been like, oh, I would kill them. I don't know if it's just me, but what was that thing?
No, I read a comment somewhere, and I want to just mention it. It says, we need a conversation about why black folks are always thinking they need to be descendants of kings and queens, as if anything else is not good enough, right? Meaning that we tend to see ourselves as, you know, oh, hallelujah, we're, you know, the evolved people, which likely we are. But I feel like this is why you have characters in movies where the black woman gets beaten, and instead of fighting back, she turns the other cheek, because she's been so conditioned and so well trained in her Christian belief that, you know, she is to be kind and so on. I'm a big fan of movies like the Django.
But Django is a situation like, all right, if we wanted to have present day Django, let's go to Libya. Let's have a movie about the shit that's happening in Libya. And then, yeah, send those vibranium weapons over to those, you know, people, those African peoples who are in those detention centers. And I would be perfectly fine. I would find it cathartic to watch them kill these Libyan people that are doing this terrible shit to them. You know what I mean? But I feel like the movie that we watched
But even then, that's kind of not satisfying, because even the situation in Libya, like, the reason for a lot of the destabilization is Western action. That would just be like, once again, just like
people on
the continent killing each other while, you know, the arms manufacturers.
So what do you think about Django? But at the same time, I still feel like Django was cathartic. I mean, at the end of the day.
And that's the point I'm making. Mm-hmm. I feel like when you are traumatized, and we talked about this, trauma is something real. And it's not that you have to go killing, you know, every person who caused your trauma. But you have to find ways to work it out, to burn it off, in other words. And I feel like that's what left me dissatisfied about the movie, because I know that there are people there out there, and I wouldn't necessarily, even though I'm arguing their point, I wouldn't say I'm 100% that, you know, needing to do that. But I get the Killmongers of the world.
Yeah,
and I don't know if it's because, like I said to you before, Killmonger is me, right? Mm-hmm. It's us people from the Caribbean who... You know, we're taken, and the U.S. who were taken, and we were taken, and some of us were like Killmonger, who was like, fuck this, I'm jumping ship. If I'm not going to be able to mutiny and go back to Africa, I'm not sailing on into no bondage.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And I think that, you know, those emotions need a space to breathe and to breathe and breathe out and die a natural death. And I feel like we did not get that from this movie.
Yeah.
And we have never gotten that.
Yeah.
And you talked a while ago about reparation. I think, how are you going to quantify reparation? Are you going to, here's some money, here's some land, here's, right? I don't know if those things are going to make somebody feel satisfied when you, when I think about my ancestors, when you read history and you see what happened in the Middle Passage, every time I watch Roots, I cry, like literal snot cry, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because it wounds me all over again, and I don't know, just telling me to forget about it. Yeah.
No, I would never forget about it.
Telling me that, well, you know, we should take the higher ground. And I think that's the burden it feels like Black people always have to bear.
Yeah.
The burden of being the one to take the higher ground. And why?
Yeah.
Because, you know, we've been trained by Massa that Christian values say you turn the other cheek. But Massa, I wonder if you understand what I'm saying.
I understand what you mean.
So I feel like, you know, I remember that I wrote a poem about that. Being married to somebody who is not Black has helped me. Yes. Mm. Because it has helped me to become more human.
Mm.
Because if you live in that space where you feel deeply dissatisfied about the wrongs that you were made against, not you necessarily physically and personally, but your ancestors. If you live in that space, it can eat you up.
Yeah.
And I think living here in Europe and getting to know people who are not Black and I see them as human beings is a very cathartic and healthy thing for me personally.
Mm-hmm.
But I get the Killmongers, and I feel like the movie triggered me, it agitated me, because they presented him and then they took him back. And that speech at the end where he said to him, well, you're not going to take me and make me get better and then you're going to lock me up. That was what T'Challa was going to do. They were never going to let him see the light of air again because he's too, quote unquote, dangerous.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But he represents that raw emotion, that we as brown and Black people still have to deal with, and the movie did zero.
But I feel like that's the point, is that
to attend to that.
We have to be able to deal with it. And I think that, to me, I wanted to root for him so bad, and I left the movie just really asking, and we talked about it, like, why couldn't we root for him? And I think it's because that trauma and that anger we have to deal with without becoming the oppressor. You know, I think that that's the difference between us as Black people. And I know now I'm doing the us and them thing, but that is the difference between us versus them, is that we don't have that history behind us of, you know, torturing people and separating families. And we don't have that. And I just...
For profit in that way, on an international scale.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, obviously,
but
there's terrible things
that happen.
But is
it just for profit, or it was just plain evil?
It was
and
both,
jealousy.
But the...
And my cousin sent me, do you know about this girl, Sarah Bartman? Do you see the video?
Yes, of course I know Sarah Bartman.
Mm-hmm.
17 years old from South Africa, was kidnapped from her family and
she
taken
came,
all over Europe.
She
him.
Died a natural death of...
And then they mutilated her.
And
they
had
put,
her body on display.
They had her body parts. They had her vagina and her breasts
vagina
and her butt.
In Europe, somewhere in,
Europe.
Think in Belgium or whatnot.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was in France, actually. But yes, I know all about this story.
Traveled all around, right?
Mm-hmm.
What I'm saying is that these images and that pain is stored in all of us' DNA. Yes?
And another thing I want to say, too, is that... So, actually, I'm taking an African-American course this semester, and a lot of the work that we have to do is in primary sources, so reading firsthand accounts of what people went through. And one of the things that I had to do was I had to look at some of the stories that three old Black women in the United States told about their time living in slavery. And out of my own curiosity, because when I was about 17, I tried to look back my own family and find out our history. And so I ended up taking one of these women, and I just kind of looked up their history. And literally, I got to the granddaughter. And the granddaughter, so I read this woman's story who was a slave, you know, in the late 1860s, whatever. Then her daughter, and then her granddaughter, who was born in like 1913 or something, and died in 2011. That's how close it is. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. There was somebody walking around who knew her grandma, you know what I mean? And her grandma had been enslaved. Like, so this whole idea that it's that far away,
it's not.
I understand that it's not. And that's why I understand the Killmongers. You meet people who do have that anger. I mean, I guess for me, though, it just comes down to, I remember a few years ago, having a conversation in a POC safe space. I think it was maybe there was a white person there. I don't know. But the topic got brought up of, like, if we could, would we? And I remember one person there saying, I wouldn't, but I can understand those who would, and we have to be prepared for the fact that people might be violent. People might respond, you know, from that ancestral trauma and all of that pain in a violent way. And what are we going to do about it as the people who don't want to be violent?
And see, that's the thing. The girl that was sitting beside me, shout out to Anissa. Anissa was like, calm the fuck down. No, we're not killing anybody. It's okay. I'm like, why is it okay, though? Mm. Why is it okay for us to take the high ground? And there perhaps will have to be some collateral damage. This sounds dangerous to say, but the reality of it is there are going to, because we have stored trauma. There is stored pain. I'm not quite sure how we're going to deal with it, but we will have to deal with it because there are, like you said, Killmongers walking among us. I want to read his quote. He said, throw my body in the ocean with my ancestors who knew death was better than bondage.
Yeah, well,
the problem I have,
listening to the arguments, like, I get that the movie, they could have done that. They could have, you know, basically, you know, made Killmonger kill a whole bunch of people, but, like, looking at it from
that perspective, it's not about killing a lot of people, though. Let's not be, like, I don't want that. Like, I'm just saying, allowing him to have some space.
But what I was saying, I feel like my whole thought on the whole thing, like, whether the movie or, like, the real situation of the whole thing, like, I think you can't neutralize a negative with another negative. That's just going to make it more negative. So that's the thing. And I do believe, of course, this whole anger that's stored up in all of us to a certain extent, which is, you know, completely understandable because, like, when you read through the stories, it's awful. It's awful what happened, everything. But, like, think, like, okay, how is this going to come back around, though, you know? Mm-hmm. Just like how it will come back and get them. Who's to say that if we do this, that, like, it's going to not come back around to us in some other kind of way, you know?
Break the cycle.
Exactly. That's that's what I think.
Maybe the cycle can't be broken because maybe as human beings, and maybe on, because this is where the conversation eventually went when we were driving home, that maybe as human beings and planet Earth is about the poles, up and down, hot and cold, bad and good, and that in this universal space called planet Earth, that's what we're doing. We have to do the rub against good and evil, and that we're never going to find a solution necessarily here, and that our death, when we move on to other planes, this is when we're going to be able to enjoy peace and tranquility and be void of the trauma of living on Earth. But that living here on Earth, this is what we will have. So if the Killmongers of the world were to take over and do what the white colonizers did to us, it would last for a good, I don't know, 80, 100 years. And then it would switch back because that's what Earth does. Earth is the land of opposites.
But that's not what we've seen. We've seen actually 600 years of colonization happening. And even to this day, it's just been more.
Killmongers to get a chance.
But I don't know.
I can, in my mind, I think seeing everything as, you know, black and white in this term of in these terms of polarity is a little unfair because, you know, as we saw in the film, vibranium was a resource which could just radically change the world and the way the economic systems would work, the way you know, technology was manufactured and stuff. And I think in a world where vibranium was distributed in a fair and meaningful way, rather than just being weaponized, but in a meaningful way distributed. So if you had the politics of Killmonger, but the diplomacy perhaps of T'Challa, in order to systematically share those resources with you know, the people who have been oppressed, then you can envision a future where every city kind of looked like the capital city of Wakanda, and people were, you know, there was a lot more balance in the world. The problem, I think, was, I think somewhere in the process of Killmonger learning about his ancestry and, you know, wanting to get revenge, he obviously became corrupted by that process.
Yeah.
And he lost in some ways sight of the bigger picture, because the bigger picture should be liberation, not perpetuating an endless cycle of violence of one group against another over and over again. Because ultimately, if you're saying what it is, coming back in 600 years,
someone clearly has to be.
Yeah, but and one thing I will say too is that I think that Kwesi, what you just said, that is what I wanted to see on the screen. I wanted to see a conversation when they were sitting out there and he was dying. I wanted to see that conversation take place where it was like, look, I admire your passion and I hear what you're saying, and you have the diplomacy to be able to go into these, you know, bigger spaces with
Let's
these
do
people.
It together.
Exactly. And I felt like that conversation never happened.
Yeah.
No.
And that last quote, even what you said about, you know, I'd rather die than, you know, go into bondage, that was also kind of weird to me. A lot of people really loved that quote, but it was also a little bit weird to me because he was the product not of one of those people who jumped off the ship, but of one of the people who had gone into bondage and who had survived that. And out of that, you know, had gotten this strength and gotten this focus to be able to go to Wakanda and do all of these things. You know what I mean? And to just lose sight of it, to have chaos and destruction, to me, it just felt very empty.
But that's why I feel like this whole thing was about elitism, because T'Challa, for me, represents everything that the elites do. Maintain the power structures. We're just going to go about to helping you slow.
Incrementally.
Exactly.
Yeah. It wasn't revolutionary.
And that's my problem, because I feel if your aim, yes, is to ultimately do good all over, what's the delay? If you can do it, what is the delay?
Yeah.
So maybe, and so that's why I'm not a fan 100% of T'Challa whatsoever. Mm-hmm. But and I'm more
And what I hated too about T'Challa is when at the end when they show them at the UN conference, and then there's this white guy sitting there that's like, well, what can Wakanda give us? And I'm thinking, like, in this strange plot, colonization and slavery still happen. So why are you asking what Wakanda can give your Western country?
Wait. Remember, they didn't know. Nobody knew about Wakanda. That was the whole thing. That was like,
that was,
you know,
why the question
exactly,
was
that
asked.
Was the
yeah,
question.
But that's so stupid to me. Like,
it
what, why does
but
your...
like it is how it showed how they, as you know, as how they perceive Africa. It's like, well, you're all fighting and there's nothing there. You know, that
so
was
what can you give me?
Exactly.
Mean,
that's
what there.
That's
all of our phones, all of our technology. That's all coming.
Yeah, exactly.
All
but I think
Africa.
It was a good. Of course, it's stupid, but it's like, I think it's pretty realistic, because I think that's like, I mean, even when I'm in school and like teachers are like, well, you know, the poor children in Africa, I'm just like, they're also, you know, pretty, you know, stable, you know, stuff going on in Africa.
It's
like we're
the
not
top
all,
seven
yeah.
fastest growing economies are in Africa.
Stuff like that, like, you know, so I think, like, to a certain extent, maybe the movie, as much as it was about, like, you know, this whole, you know, Africa, like, black and white people, like, kind of like this, you know, separation and all, maybe it's just also showed just human beings who are incapable of controlling our emotions, as Killmonger, for example, did when he had the chance to, like, you know, maybe make a 180 and, you know, change and like maybe see, like, okay, all right, I get I'm angry, and I see you over there just like shaking your head, just like no.
Look, I think it's so unfair. It's like when you somebody is raped and you tell them get over it.
No,
or
but that's
somebody
the thing.
Is raped.
That's the thing.
No, let
We're
me
not...
just finish what I'm saying. Like, I'm saying, like, you know, if you see somebody that has been who's gone through pain, and you're like, well, you know, you could just like pray about it, or you know, you could go see a therapist about it. Some people are not. Some people will deal with it that way, but there are lots of people who their pain, they live with it, and
that's that.
And to me, I feel like the movie, like Killmongers, people who are out there with that kind of feeling. I don't even want to say me, because I'm not 100% that
but
feeling
that
way.
But that's what I'm trying
way.
To say. I'm Killmonger
too. But I get
too.
It. Like, I get
yeah.
it. I
mm-hmm.
get
yeah.
it.
I think my main problem was, especially with Killmonger, actually, it just generally is they all wanted to slot into these existing power structures, and the overriding one was that there was a monarchy, and I found it really disheartening that, you know, at the end of the movie, that monarchy still existed. I thought there was a real opportunity when Killmonger challenged the monarchy in that way, that they could invent a system that was more, you know, communal, which was more directly democratic.
And that's the thing that you said it earlier, that it was like it's like a stroke of luck that Metroid dropped in Wakanda. There was
and not in Gambia.
So I feel
something.
Like the movie, the story wasn't fleshed out enough, because what makes them so special?
Exactly.
What's the thing that they're doing that we're that's so new and
well,
different?
Well, then there'll be a Black Panther too, because at the end of the day, it was a movie, and
no,
they're going to
they're not
going to
answer any
not
of these questions.
Not necessary. You
and
might
again,
think so.
So
because
we started
like,
the conversation by saying that, like, are we, is this too a bigger ask to ask a movie to sort these problems and these things out. I think it is,
but on the second hand, also where, you know, it's an industry. The movie industry is just there to make money. So I can best believe, maybe not next year, maybe not in 2 years, but definitely in a couple of years, you're going to see, you know, a third, second Black Panther, what happened before, Killmonger's life. Because that, at the end of the day, that's what they want. They want to squeeze out every kind of drop of money that they can get out of it. And who's to say not, like, you know, they could I mean, they do. You can see by them doing this movie that they pick up that, you know, they need to start to branch out, as you said before, crazy, that, you know, that's what they're going to do. So who's not to say that, you know, for some reason, because, you know, Marvel and the whole superhero movies are going to, like, they bring back Killmonger and then there's, like, some kind of other thing. Because, like, you know, and start to get people's hopes rising up again because, you know, they saw how great it worked.
I just felt a little bit disappointed that this is obviously supposed to be one of the more radical and, like, revolutionary ideas for a Marvel film. And being under the umbrella of Disney, I thought it was disappointing even comparing it with the most recent Star Wars. We watched that over Christmas. And in that film, they made a big point of that the main character, the female lead, Rey, that she wasn't from Star Wars The Last Jedi. And they made a big point that she wasn't from any royalty and her parents hadn't been, like, anything special. And a main nemesis in that film had been like, well, your parents were just junk collectors or something like that. So, like, it was shown that through her own brilliance, through her own, like, intelligence and creativity, she'd gotten to this position of, like, power, and it was all self-constructed and self-attained.
Exactly.
Whereas in this, it was like, well, you know, you kind of... The meteorite hit, and then, like, a couple people agreed on it, and then, you know, it just got passed down, and it was all about lineage. And I thought that was disappointing. I thought...
Man,
yeah.
I think across the board, we got... Is it Don King who always said the hood... Hoodwinged. Yes. I feel like that's how this movie was packaged and produced and sold to us, and we bought it.
Yep.
Hook, line, and sinker. They must be laughing in their boardrooms right now because they're like, did you see what we just did?
Yeah.
We just told them this was great. They thought it was great, and now look at us.
But you know what? They also bought Michael B. Jordan. They bought Lupita. You know, they bought some of the, like, key Black actors that we as Black consumers look at and we're like, oh, yeah, they're in it? It must be good.
Yeah.
But
I think that's what happened, too. They got us, for sure.
But they may have done, but I think, you know, this might be one of those things further down the line where it does actually play into the Black community's favor because, you know, you can... Maybe
it's crazy being hopeful.
Yeah, because
quit writing the calendar.
I like this.
No pessimism.
I think there's you know, we can feel hoodwinked in the immediate sense, and maybe we have been. But I think on the larger time scale, when people look back on the record and they just completely dissolve the idea of the plot and all of this thing, looking back, and they say which director and which actors were in this film and how much did it gross, it looks very good on paper.
Yeah,
and that is going to definitely. Be reason, but there'll definitely be a sequel to this film. I have no doubt about that. But I think just generally there'll be a lot of faith within the industry and a lot of clamoring for Black-led films. People realize that it's profitable, and over time that will increase the power and prevalence of Black voices, Black ideas, Black directors, Black creativity in Hollywood, which, as we know, is absolutely saturated with just white ideals at the moment.
I'm all for that 100%. My question, though, is, are we going to be having these superhuman characters, these, you know, magical things? Are we going to see movies where we see black lives, Black love, regular-ass things?
I think that's
a big problem that we have, where we're seen either as king and queens or paupers and, you know, the lesser of society. Like, I want to be seen as a human being. You see how a white guy can go to the movie and watch it and be like, okay, it's a movie, and walk out. I don't want to go into the movie thinking, oh my God, it's going to save my world and save the day and explain stuff.
That's true. How many movies are out about mediocre white men? And we don't even have, like, normal.
We can't do that. As Black people, we don't have how could you?
Yeah.
That's why I was, just a quick point, with Will Smith's children. Like, I'm not a fan necessarily of how they've, you know, they seem like, you know, out there. But when I hear people criticizing them, I get so upset because I'm like, leave them the hell alone.
Yeah.
Right? They're wealthy and they were born in a very privileged space. And that's how they operate. Which is no different from the Kylie Jenners or whoever it is else who is white and who is rich. But we seem to put this heavy burden on our Blackness.
Yeah.
Yes, I have to stand for something. And the white man helps to perpetuate that because they know when they do that, you are almost always controllable.
Yes.
How could you do that? How could you do that?
Yes.
And that's
the
problem I have generally with them using the movie in this way.
Yes, I feel.
But I'm very hopeful for you know, black voices in cinema going forward.
He's hopeful.
Yeah, because as well, because I just look at the movies of recent years. You know, you know, you had Moonlight winning Best Picture last year. We watched Get Out. Within the last year, and that was a fantastic film, and I thought that was really cool.
That was very political.
We should start doing film reviews.
I know. Can we start a movie club, guys?
Yes,
I love that film, and I think
Get Out.
Yeah, I thought it was fantastic. Yeah. I thought it was really, really good.
I thought Get Out was very good.
I personally definitely superior to Black Panther.
Yeah,
definitely. I would agree.
And the political commentary was a lot more. Structured and solid.
It was structured and it was solid, and it wasn't in your face. Like here, it was like they had very deliberate and like obvious quotes throughout the movie,
trying
like
to trigger you.
Yeah, like when he was in London, he was like, "Oh, did your ancestors stole it?" Blah blah. You know what I mean? Like as a black person, that's gonna make you like, "Yeah, tell them, tell those." What? And there was one part too where she was like, it was Shuri when the white guy got injured.
Oh,
and
God, Isaac, don't sneak up on me.
Well, there was that part, but there was also the part where, like, when they first bring him in, and she's just like, oh, another white man for me to save or something
I have to kind of, like, probably burst your bubble with that, because Captain America must have died or almost died, and they send him to Wakanda, and that was the white guy he was referring to. Because I thought that too, but, like, I watched this.
But it could be both, you know what I mean? It could be playing on both of those
things. It could definitely be both,
of course. So if you knew it, then you knew it, but if you didn't, it still sounded good. But like, for example, but the actual plot of the movie wasn't really confronting whiteness or confronting these things. Whereas Get Out, it wasn't like so much of like those type of lines. Everything was really like under the surface, but it was even more direct.
Yes, that's right. It scared the shit out of me.
It scared me.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
But I think if a movie like Get Out can have, you know, its lead then play a big role in this blockbuster Black Panther, I think, you know, I look forward to seeing, you know, the next wave of, like, black independent cinema or just, you know, slightly lower-key black cinema. And what superheroes or what blockbusters we might get in the future because of that. Because I think each time, just our presence is solidified and, you know, represented best. So I think whilst Black Panther as an individual film, I disagree with a lot of the politics, I disagree with a lot of the things I've seen. I think as a general thing and as a piece of, like, movie making, I think it does mark an important point in the industry where,
I agree,
you know, you can't ignore black directors
and the black dollar.
You can't
ignore the black dollar anymore. There's definitely a space for it.
And another thing too, just going on what you said about how black creatives need to be taken more seriously in Hollywood, is that I think that because this black director that has now done Black Panther, and people will be interested in him, and this is something that we talked about too, is that he also directed Fruitvale Station, which is about the black kid in Oakland who was murdered by the police at the train station. Mm-hmm. And that was, like, a very political movie. Like, if you go and you watch it, it's based on a true story. Like, the family's still, you know, living in Oakland today. And so I think, you know, anybody that watched that movie and thought, like, oh, like, that was... Whether you thought it was good or it was bad, and then you find out, oh, and this guy produced... Or this guy directed this movie, and then you watch that, you're like, okay. It starts to kind of... The pieces start to fit of, like... I think that actually the black people were on it, but I think that, again, being under Disney, I think they didn't have as much creative freedom to really make the characters who, you know, black people as a community.
And that film had Michael B. Jordan too, right?
Exactly.
And he was also in The Wire, so people might watch The Wire. And, like, I think it becomes this cross-referencing, like, network of different films and, like, black media that people can... Mm-hmm. Invest themselves into.
I wish they would come together and just start their own, you know, production company and let us put our dollars into that. Let us build up a place like that where, you know, Black Marvel. We need Blarvel. All right, we got to work on that a little bit, the name. Anyway, all right, any final thoughts? Because we need to wrap this up, guys.
I think that we're having a moment, and I hope that it's not just a moment in black culture. I hope that we're just not... you know, thinking that it's all a gimmick and, you know, we're excited about it and then we put it to the side and we go on living lives of trauma. And I guess I want to say it's a movie.
Yes.
It is a movie. Yes. And I don't think, I feel almost ashamed in a way because I think to myself, what do they think of us? You know, when they see us acting this way over the...
Who's they? White people?
People who... When they look and see us
They were hating on us. You saw that whole thing with the Twitter, the fake Twitter attacks. Yes, that's
something I wanted to do. That was awful. That basically what was happening was people were tweeting, hashtag Black Panther, unbelievable. I was with my wife going to the cinema and then this black dude came up to me and said, this movie's not for you, and punched her in the face and I put
and
up
pictures. And it's like fake images of women with bloody faces. And the worst thing is
it's like, it's images of people who were actually assaulted but in different cases, and this is like really dangerous because like it's making it look like a lot of people are being all violent, and a lot of the posts were taken down, but a lot of them are still up there, and it's
and
just like
re-uploaded.
Yeah, it's just like sickening because like because they saw fake us news, our, straight up fake news,
straight up fake news, and it's like they saw us in our glory, having this you know amazing empowering experience of going to this movie where after 90 minutes of sitting there, 2 hours of sitting there, we kind of walked out like, you know what I mean? But for the people watching us, they're out there just hating on us, just hating. And, like, yeah. I think, yeah, that Twitter thing was a good example. So, to be honest, I don't really care. I don't care what they think. I'm over them.
My son asked me if I'm going to watch it a second time, if we're going to get it. Because, you know, I have my big DVD collection. I thought, yes, I want to get it because I want to watch it again and see how I feel now that all the hype has burned off. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that... Again, it's a movie and it's a comic strip, and it's not going to make anything different. We have to do it in our lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely, we have to do it in our lives. So
yeah, I guess my final thought is, as a film, as a singular film, I think it was filled with hope, which wasn't really fulfilled, and I think it had a disappointing outcome for the film, and it had bad politics. But I think looking at it in the wider context of the black movies that we've had recently. Hidden Figures, Dope, Get Out,
Moonlight. Dear White People.
Or even Atlanta series, like Atlanta.
I hated that movie for anybody listening. But
I think generally, I think it does, on its own, disappointing. But I think as a wider thing, it's maybe an indication of a larger movement.
Which is a good thing.
Which is a good thing. So what did you think watching the movie? Let us know your thoughts. And yeah, I guess we'll see you next time. Thanks for watching.